Hello and happy Wednesday. You're listening to Eco Justice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK. My name is JP Morris, and today we are talking with Woodrow Curry. He is a lifelong resident and the lead organizer for the grassroots coalition Uplift Inglewood. He will be talking with host of the interview and executive producer of Eco Justice Radio, Mark Morris. And they'll be talking about Assembly Bill 987, how that's affecting Inglewood. So here's the interview with Woodrow Curry. You're listening to Eco Justice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK.
Thank you for tuning in to Eco Justice Radio, and today we want to welcome Woodrow Curry from Uplift Inglewood, who was brought to our attention by one of our local Los Angeles environmental activists, Marta Segura. She contacted us to let us know that there was a legislation that was just recently introduced in Sacramento, an Assembly Bill 987 that will be helping to fast-track the development and building of a stadium for the Clippers in the city of Inglewood on public land that could also be used for housing and isn't. And so we really wanted to ask Woodrow into the studio to speak to what he's doing and in organizing the city of Inglewood and the residents of Inglewood to bring attention to this situation. So welcome, Woodrow. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Great.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So if I understand this correctly, this is not the first time that these kinds of bills or these kinds of shenanigans, you could say, in Sacramento by those elected representatives that we would hope would be advocating for the community, right, is actually kind of helping along the development of structures of stadiums, mm-hmm, that really will only be bringing in a certain type of business and not really providing very many resources for the sustainability of the community. So, what have you learned?
Yeah, we've seen similar tactics used in Sacramento with the building of their new arena. We saw it in Inglewood with the building of the LA Rams Stadium. A little different there because there was a ballot initiative that that residents were able to vote on in order to have those exemptions. But this is just wholesale lending more power to the corporate agenda than to the people and the residents of the city.
Yeah, a lot of times they promote these types of fast tracks because they say that it's going to provide jobs.
Yeah,
and they're not even pretending as though this is going to be providing any kind of housing, because we spoke earlier and you were talking about how at least with the NFL mm-hmm project, they did talk about having some housing as part of the plan also. But this particular project for the Clippers doesn't even include housing.
No. Okay. This the proposed plan for the Clippers arena, this is their second attempt at this. They tried in the previous legislative year with a bill that was very similar, but it also included transit projects and other projects. So now this new bill is much more narrowly focused in on the arena. I think it only covers a 1 square mile radius in the city of Inglewood.
And an area that I understand is public
It
land.
Is public land,
this
absolutely.
This is not private property that, no. You want to speak to that?
Yeah, so this is why Uplift Inglewood is really focused on this, because this is public land. This land belongs to the city, previously part of the redevelopment agency that Governor Brown collapsed a while back. Mm-hmm. But this this plan is planned on public land. It has to do with the sale of public land, and we're opposed not because we you know are lifelong Laker fans, even though I personally am. you know, I want to see it continue to be the city of champions. Yeah. Also, you know, this is really a public land that can be used for public good, and that's really what we're focusing on. Now, obviously, we talk, you know, in Uplift Inglewood, we talk about housing, and I think that's really important given our current housing crisis. But, you know, we also see that there's other needs, right? There's need for open space, for green space, for, you know, we've talked about business incubation centers. We've talked about using that land for, you know, city-run daycare or adult daycare.
Right.
You know, there's all these things that people need.
Yeah. See, that's one thing that we really like to address on our show is the as a show about environmentalism, we don't want to just keep it at your typical environmental type of narrative. But there are so many resources in communities that are unfortunately traditionally underserved to begin with, that a lot of these corporations in concert with state and municipal entities have a tendency to extract resources, whether they're land or
yes, they do.
Talent, you know, yeah. without for to only benefit, financially benefit a very few people and not really offer any kind of sustainable sustainability to the community itself.
Yeah, well, you know, what it really boils down to for me personally, Inglewood is a city that's predominantly working class, predominantly working class city. Inglewood, a lot of people don't know this, Inglewood is actually part of the South Bay region. It's a part, it's one of the South Bay cities. Even though, you know, we are next to South Central LA. We're next to, you know, LA proper, but we're also part of South Bay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're actually one of the few working class cities that remain in the South Bay, right?
Yeah.
And definitely one of the few working class cities of color that remain in the South Bay. And these projects, not only, you know, obviously, they have an impact on the environment, but they also impact us as people, those of us who live there and those of us who are being displaced as a result of these projects. I mean, I said this is their second try, right?
Yeah.
The initial attempt was we're going to be dealing with direct displacement in contrast to indirect displacement. Direct displacement. This project was actually going to do away with a church. They were going to use eminent domain to do away with the church, a couple of local businesses. They've changed that,
so,
right?
So what are these? First of all, you just say it's a large working class area. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they're working. They have jobs.
Yeah.
And you said that part of their narrative, part of the developer's narrative is they're going to provide jobs.
Yeah.
Just what kind of jobs are they talking about?
Well, these are seasonal. These are low wage, temporary jobs. I think they hang their hat on the fact that there's going to be construction jobs.
Which they can construct homes.
They can, you can hire people to construct homes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's part of our, response, right? You know, we want not only that, but there's actually a state law that requires before you build a project like this on public land, before you sell public land, you actually have to prioritize affordable housing. That's called the Surplus Land Act. So that's something that we as Uplift Inglewood are really pushing for. We're pushing our city and our elected officials to abide by that state law.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and I understand also built in to this AB 987, this assembly bill that was recently introduced, is also something to the effect that any kind of legal challenges to the project need to be wrapped up in 9 months. Need to be fast tracked. What kind of What kind of actions would that be inhibiting?
So the there's actually a assembly bill that came before that in, I think, was 2011. Mm. I think it was AB 900. Mm-hmm. And that's what allowed the nine months.
Wow.
This new bill actually takes it a step further. It says that or it allows the developer to begin the project even while challenges are still on the table.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, these challenges include...
These challenges usually hold up and halt the project.
Yes.
This bill would allow them to continue the project.
Well, and for good reason. Yeah. You know, this is,
exactly.
You know, because this will also increase the traffic in the area,
yeah.
Right? You know, mm-hmm. and it's already displaced, what you were saying, a church...
well, they didn't displace the church.
Oh,
they,
okay.
We organized and we pushed back and they were able to, they're able to stay.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Okay. That's why you pushed back. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to EcoJustice Radio on 90.7 KPFK, and we're speaking with Woodrow Curry of Uplift Inglewood, who's, I'd like to introduce as the David to, the Goliath of development that's going on in Inglewood right now. And Woodrow, it sounds like you've maybe done some research,
yeah,
on this, because yeah. there's you were telling me earlier about how there's an unfortunate history of this kind of thing going on with stadiums, right. And such.
Yeah, I mean, in Uplift Inglewood, we've done some intense study and research, and me personally, I've done a lot of research just on, you know, other struggles around these same issues, right? Mm-hmm. So I read about Chavez Ravine, and I read about what took place there, right? With Dodger, yeah. State, with the building, yeah. of Dodger Stadium. Also in Brooklyn with Barclays Center and San Francisco and Oakland and all around the country and even outside of the country, right? This is not a U.S. phenomenon, right? So, you know, got a chance to read and when I read people's names, if you know, I Googled them and I tried to reach out to them and I talked to a lot of folks and they gave me a lot of good insight on how I could do the same thing,
yeah,
in my community.
We've heard that insight that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So it, yeah. sounds like Inglewood is just, mm-hmm. being doomed to repeat a bad habit or some kind of development addiction or something.
Right.
You know, why does this stadium have to be built?
Well, this arena is, it doesn't have to be built.
No.
I'll start with that. again, I want to reiterate the fact that this is public land. It should be used for the, yes. public good. An arena is not the public good. An arena is a private entity, right? It's owned by, it's going to be owned by Steve Ballmer, who's a billionaire. So this is basically prioritizing the agenda of billionaires over the people's agenda.
Well, how are they even pretending as though, yeah. other than we talked earlier about, you know, jobs, which are basically going to be, you know, like service jobs serving,
yeah.
hot dogs and, mm-hmm.
popcorn. Which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, those are very noble, professions, but they're it's not the same as the jobs in which a lot of people already living in Inglewood work in nearby factories, mm-hmm. nearby development plants. I know there was a lot of rich history of aerospace work that was earlier in Inglewood, and I know that,
right.
Tesla is
right down the street.
Right down the street. So, but it sounds more like the people already have jobs in Inglewood need affordable housing.
Yeah. I mean, the people that don't have jobs need affordable housing.
Yeah, okay,
right?
Yeah, right on.
Everybody needs affordable housing. I mean, we take the stance that housing should be a human right.
Yes.
There's no need to put housing.
So how are they even pretending, yeah. as though the community is going to get anything out of this? Like if I were to ask you, okay, flip your hat around.
Yeah.
And just imagine that, what kind of arguments are you getting? What kind of pushback are you getting from developers that want to make it look as though, well, this is something that the community of Inglewood absolutely mm-hmm. needs?
So I'll say this much. The developers, they have their agenda. That's their agenda is obvious, right?
Right.
They want to make money.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless their hearts.
These developers are used to developing in communities where they are held accountable. They're used to developing in communities where you do have these environmental protections, where you do have these set asides for affordable housing, where you do have all of these things. Mm-hmm. And then they come to Inglewood, where our city's elected officials are pretty much laying out the red carpet for them.
Wow.
Part of this is the developers. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But part of it is just a lack of leadership.
Wow. Well, speaking of leadership, it sounds like, you have some background in pulling things together. What is your background in organizing?
So I started in organizing back as a college student, but I started in political organizing and went into campaigns, election campaigns, mm-hmm. stuff like that, mm-hmm. and community organizing around certain initiatives, things like that. It was fun, but it was the change that I was looking to make wasn't quite there.
Wow! So you're organizing the community, to mm-hmm. take action, which right. really, quite frankly, it is a beautiful way to really push back on the politics
So I kind of moved away from the electoral politics. I went into labor, so started organizing with labor unions, and I found a lot of my work was working to help broaden the scope of labor's focus. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these issues are connected, environmental issues, that is a working mm-hmm. class issue, right?
Yes. Yes.
Housing, that is a working class issue. So, yes. I mean, these are working class issues and, trying to help broaden the scope of how we view these.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Interconnected struggles.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And the key word, interconnected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The impact that, not only on the physical environment, but also the cultural environment
yes.
of a community that these developers have has to have an impact mm-hmm. on how you approach because are you a native of Inglewood? Are you?
I am. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
And you are too, right?
Yeah, I am. Right. I was born. Sentinel Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually, I was brought home from the hospital to an apartment, right there in Inglewood off a beach near Sentinella.
Okay.
That same building is now being converted into a condo.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Affordable condo?
No. Market rate.
Okay. And isn't that part of the problem with some of these, developments such as the NFL mm-hmm. stadium and this stadium, doesn't it also kind of increase a certain kind? Doesn't kind of billow out into mm-hmm. Others trying to make the largest amount of money they possibly can on the property that's nearby, maybe pushing out?
A lot of speculation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Property speculation. That's what LA was built on, property speculation.
Yeah.
So, it's no wonder why it's happening. But, yeah, there's prices are going up. That's kind of what really pushed me to get involved in the first place. Like I said, I was doing this organizing, but it wasn't in my own home community. It wasn't in my neighborhood. So, mm-hmm. When rent started to go up in my building, I started to look around and say, hey, what is everybody else's rent going up? Is this just going on here?
Yeah.
And through conversations and talking with friends and family around the city and found out it was something that was going on in all parts of the city. And, it was time to take some action. Just from my organizing background, I was like, well, you know, the only way I know to do it is to get people organized and to, you know, bring people to the table.
So you this is a coalition.
This is a coalition.
Yeah. Right? Okay. And what other organizations are pulling in there with you?
So I went to a lot of organizations that are kind of well known. And, you know, a lot of the responses I got was, you know, hey, that's Inglewood. I mean, a lot of organizations are L.A. based and L.A. focused, you know, and rightfully so, because there's, you know, L.A.'s a big city. So, you know, that was kind of one of the driving forces behind starting Uplift Inglewood and putting that in the name, was because, you know, we needed something, you know, homegrown and based in Inglewood. Right. So, you know, I went to have conversations with organizations that were based in Inglewood. So I went to, you know, one of our anchor organizations is Holy Faith Episcopal Church. They do really great work. Social Justice Learning Institute, Youth Justice Coalition, Working Women, 9 to 5 Working Women, Mecha. We have lots of residents like myself, community leaders, parents, Inglewood Teachers Association. We found that, you know, when you have people who send their kids to public schools, that's usually the working class folks, right?
Yes.
And if they can no longer afford to live there, those schools dry up.
Yeah.
And that impacts enrollment and with per pupil funding, you know.
So it sounds like, you know, for our listeners, it sounds like they could also pitch in. They could also help out. They can
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So those of you that are listening in, maybe on your way to work or in between classes, we want to invite you to the table.
Yeah.
And what would you like to?
There's so many other organizations that I didn't get a chance to mention.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay.
No. I want to say that, you know, there's lots of organizations that are part of the coalition at this point now, and you know, if you have an organization and you want to get plugged in and you want to be a part of this, you know, I would invite you out. You know, you can reach us through our website, which is upliftinglewood.org. It's upliftinglewood.org. Or you can find us on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and all the rest.
Okay. So. All right. So anyway, thank you for listening to Eco Justice Radio. Woodrow, thank you so much for coming to the studio today and talking with us about this very important project. And you're listening to Eco Justice Radio on 90.7 KPFK.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is it for our show. Thank you for tuning into Eco Justice Radio here on 90.7 KPFK. I want to thank Woodrow for coming onto the show. Eco Justice Radio is brought to you by SoCal 350 and KPFK. Executive producer and host of the interview, Mark Morris, and original music by Javier Cadre. My name is JP Morris, and until next time, remember, the power is yours.